Jesse Shabbat.
Bat, 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 bat.
Was it? Oh, Fessy? Oh my, really?
Really?
Fessy!
If you know, you know.
We love to interrupt, spreading the game show love every week on 5and1.net.
Halloween Showdown, starring Michael Myers, will not be heard at this time. Instead, let's just cut to the chase. Here's We Love to Interrupt.
Did Gordon Pepper write that? I feel like Gordon Pepper may have written that.
Oh, only his hairdresser knows for sure.
Hello? Is this thing on?
Holy crap, who the hell? Who the hell let Jason Block back in here?
I hate it because only Jason Block's hairdresser knows for sure. And by the way, Jason Block's bald.
Yeah, I have.
Yes, I am. But
I have his hairdresser right here. It's a Manscaped 5 head.
Difficulties beyond my control. We're back, and we have a lot to catch up on, including something that hasn't happened in 11 years. A beautifully paid final on Big Brother, some reviews, and since the holidays are over, Jewish holidays are over, we need to atone for something.
Yes, all of that, plus some games people play are coming to the big screen. With Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander, and from somewhere in America, WLTI is all! Let's go!
Whee!
I guess, okay. Welcome to the I'm finally back and my computer is doing a lot better edition of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here on 5and1. My name is Jason Block. I'm here with Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper, but I'm hijacking their intro because we need to start with this clip from Sony Pictures Television. Hit it.
Back with Christina, who's won a bunch tonight already, including a trip to Tokyo. And your boss is here?
She is.
She was afraid to come down because I think she was afraid to get the question, can I have time off? Is that why?
Exactly. But it's going to be coming, so.
What happens if you win $1 million?
I may be putting in my 2 weeks, but we won't tell her that yet.
Okay, well, put it in there, right there. Just set it down. We've replaced the $100,000 envelope with the $1 million retirement envelope. Christina, give the wheel a good spin and good luck. Here we go. It is the ampersand. I will grab it. Come on down here. And you chose living things. We will give you the R, S, T, L, N, and the E. So take a look at that, and I need from you 3 more consonants and 1 vowel.
Okay. M, C, F.
And the vowel?
A.
Okay, Vanna, what can you show us? Very quiet in the audience. Living things, that is the category. You'll have 10 seconds to try and solve it. Christina's staring at me. Good luck.
Pack of coyotes.
You won $1 million!
Christina, they're gonna miss you at work. You just won $1 million!
I'm in tears.
I can cry on my student loan.
Wait, hold on. You're a millionaire.
Do you know you have more than $1 million? $1,035,155, your grand total. So, look out here to the camera. What would you like to say to your boss?
We'll have a discussion once we get back to the office.
Congratulations. You're my first $1 million winner.
Oh my gosh!
That was $1 million pack of coyotes for Christina Derevanchik. And all I can say is,
wow.
Let that YouTube clip serve as her 2 weeks, am I right?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, here's a couple of things that you need to notice about this, okay? I believe the last winner, Sarah Manchester, friend of mine, she did the exact same thing, which was get the $1 million wedge on her very first spin. It's happened a couple of times, and that's what happens. Number two, we continue the streak of all female millionaires, okay? Hasn't happened. Okay, even though they do count Melissa Joan Hart, I only count the 4 civilian. You understand?
Yes.
That's just me.
Yeah.
Okay? Number three, her choice of letters was perfect. The fact that she picked the C with the T-E-S, I was just like, okay. And, you know, even Dad got the puzzle right away, which was Pack of Coyotes. He got that right away. Now, Gordon, did you notice that? Did you think that the reaction was shot again? Or do you think it was a one-take live reaction thing?
Why would you think it would be shot again exactly?
Because the way they edited it, he was already standing in the position of revealing. It was one of those things that just tickled me a little bit. That's all.
Do we have the X-Files theme that we can just put up right now for Jay? Because I think Jay's looking for a conspiracy theory where...
No, but sure I bet it is. But she is the player of the year in the clubhouse right now.
Indeed,
without question.
She is. And the thing of it is, it happened in the beginning of the season. It happened at Ryan's first millionaire. He played that absolutely beautifully. And this was just one of, when we look back, and we are going to look back in a couple of months on 2025 in review, this is going to be one of those moments that is going to be a standout moment because it was authentic, it was organic, and it just served to, I want to say, reinvigorate interest in the franchise.
I think she's her tiny floor game show. A leader in the clubhouse. However, if you want to go to the reality show leader in the clubhouse, let's take a couple blocks over in CBS land, over in a certain big house, shall we?
Atford, yes, sir.
On Big Brother.
Yes. So we are down to our final three, and this happened a little while ago. And the final three are Morgan, Ashley, and Vince. Okay? So, well, before we do that, it's down to three. Ava was the last one evicted, and not exactly a surprise after the bonus footage showing basically calling out everyone's game.
Uh-huh. Okay, she basically blew up everything because she knows it's three judges against her.
Right. So what happened was, we had the strength competition with the part one, which was called Locate the Lair. You had to hang on to a flying drone as long as possible, and the person who won that was Morgan. Okay? Was Morgan.
Yes, and that And that means she will fast track to part three of the HOH, which will play out on the live finale, which we will get to right now. Because the second
part two of the house is called Frankie Grande, which was Unmask the Mastermind. House guests must swing from a zip line to destroy three sets of blocks. They then search for special blocks that reveal the faces of six house guests. When the puzzle is completed, they open an envelope containing clues to help decode a password. Vince blows the lead, and Ashley won, so it's Ashley and Morgan, and Vince is like, I'm doomed.
But okay. Here's the thing. Before we get to part three, we did unmask the mastermind, so to speak. It was former Deal or No Deal Island contestant, Dr. Will Kirby. And what does he say? I was framed!
Well.
Yeah. Well, he's not.
Then in.
More on that later.
We'll get there. Okay. So Ashley and Morgan compete in the final round perjury duty. And they must correctly answer questions based on statements made by jury members. Ashley wins the final head of household and takes Vince to the final and evicting Morgan, which was, by the way, the smartest move she could make.
Correct. And the vote, meet that out, because by a vote of 6-1, Ashley Hollis has gotten not a seat on the WLTI Big Brother Losers Live couch, but a seat in the WLTI Big Brother
Winner's Throne.
We don't have anything prepared for this, so sorry. Here, have this.
Yeah. Here's the check. But there was a kind of funny skit at the end, and Gordon, I think you probably appreciated this, is that while Dr. Will Kirby said, I was framed, because he kind of was, because there were not one mastermind, but three. They were Frankie Grande, Jesse Goddard, who will never turn down a Big Brother check, but we got Big Brother 8 and America's Player Eric Stein as well.
So not only
and by the way, they were kind of funny because there were clues about them during the season. And by the way, Keanu, not surprisingly, was America's favorite player. So, Gordon, what did you think of the final?
I thought the final was well played. Ashley did exactly what she needed to do in order to win. She played a much better social game than Will did. So you could make the argument, and you would be wrong, that final matchup was determining to see who's going to win $750,000 between Ashley and Morgan. So in that aspect, it was fun. This was not a bad Big Brother. This was one where social game really said a lot this season.
Yes, it did.
And I think more than other seasons.
Yes, it did. And I think Morgan got to where she got to because of her social game. And Ashley just happened to have a better social game and got to the title, the check, and the coveted.
Oh, and by the way, when you watch her.
Jay, hold on one second. Chico, I could not possibly disagree with you more.
Okay.
Morgan did not have. Morgan had a much better social game. We all said that if Morgan gets to the end, she wins. And I believe that. The problem that Morgan had was that she didn't get to the end. Ashley, incredibly smart, knowing that she had a win against Vince and a loss against Morgan, picked the right person to go with her.
Exactly. That's all that was.
I'll also say this, and then Jay, I'll give it right back over to you.
Sure.
Vince played a perfect let me get to the end and win $75,000 game. He knew he wasn't going to win. He had way too much blood in his hands, and he had all that other stuff going on. So, you know, he wasn't going to win, and he knew it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I watched Ashley's speech, and Vince was like, I got nothing. Because Ashley's speech, and And Dad's jaw dropped when he watched this. When she said, I'm a lawyer from Georgetown and decided to just legally skewer his ass, and I'm going to say that.
You'd be right to say
it was over. It was over.
Once Ashley revealed that she's not the marshmallow that everybody thought she was, it was over.
It was over long before then. I disagree with you. It was over when she took Vince. She could have read the phone book and she wins Big Brother. Not maybe she put on the icing of the cake, but the cake was already baked. Vince played a terrible Big Brother social game. You could have put a dead duck next to Vince and the duck would have won.
Oh, I agree.
So, no, I don't agree with you guys at all. I think you guys maybe watched a different Big Brother than I did. But Vince played a bad social game the whole entire season.
Yes, he did.
And
I
a
agree.
Lot of it had
I agree with
and,
it.
And
I
a lot.
Agree. I agree. I agree. That's
and,
why you had to have
and a lot of the reason why Vince and a lot of reason why Vince stuck around had nothing to do with his gameplay and had everything to do with everybody else looking and going, if I bring Vince with me to the end, I win.
Well, that's why you had to have that challenge, that sort of challenge streak that he had going, because he knew that his social game was trash. It was
it was horrible.
Yeah, but you're saying he had to have the win streak. No, he didn't. He was going to be taken to the finals. The only question was just going to be who was going to take him.
Exactly.
Like, he had no... There was no way that he was going to get voted out. Everybody that was getting voted out were people that they thought that could win the game. They were all threats. They kept Vince in because they knew Vince was not going to be a threat.
Vince was not a threat so, 3 to 4 weeks ago. Okay?
No, Vince was not a threat after he turned off his... After he turned off Rachel.
There you go.
You know, once Rachel got to the Big Brother house, you knew Vince was screwed. He wasn't not going to win. He knew he wasn't going to win. So, as I said, I don't know what season of Big Brother that you were watching. I watched the one that you absolutely knew he wasn't going to win.
Exactly.
So there you go.
He was not we have a ton to cover. Let's keep going.
Let's go.
With this guy, Mr. Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy.
Oh, you thought the age of the Super Champ was over, huh? Well, I got news for you. Steven Olsen is just one man. TJ Fisher is another.
Let's go to tonight's game with our third Super qualifier for the Tournament of Champions, TJ Fisher, playing against Spencer James and Grace Batiste. At the end of final, it's still anyone's game with Spencer at 17, TJ at 14-4, and Grace at 5-2. Okay? That is tonight's game.
Yeah.
With the final of World Organizations, The Clue.
Has it gone in 2025? Aliza Magan, who helped track down terrorists in the 1972 Munich attack, became this agency's top-ranking woman. Oh, me! Pick me!
Go for it.
What is the Mossad?
yes, it is the Mossad. You notice that there are a lot of badass Israeli women like Golda Meir and, you know, Aliza Magan. TJ, on the other hand, said, what is Interpol? So he's out. Spencer bet 12,000 and got 29,000. And that's the right bet because he covered TJ. And he is the new champ with 29,000 going into tomorrow, into the end of the week.
Yep. And all I can say is that was that. There were a lot of clues in that Final Jeopardy clue that would have pointed a reasonable mind to the Mossad. 1972,
right.
Munich, tracking down terrorists.
Yes.
Yeah. This
exactly.
Was,
But we need to... Okay, but quickly, we need to go... Oh, and just very, very quickly, Gordon, I'm sorry. What did you think of TJ's run?
I thought it was decent. You know, it was a good run. Was it dominating? Not especially, but... You know, look at who you have to compare it to. It's dominating. I thought it was a decent run.
Okay.
It was a very decent run. He made $100,000.
Hey, oh, well, yeah, but I mean, again, Super Champion, you're going to be making $100,000.
Yes. But to the island, sir. So Kelly loses the first immunity, first tribal council. So Alex and Jake, that's right, found the beware advantage, and they wanted to target Alan next, okay? So, someone had to go on a journey, and that was Jake, Jawan, and Matt. And the journey was, the players who tossed coconuts in their opponent's bag caused them eventually to drop, then the last person standing won, who happened to be Jawan, okay? Now, Jawan had a choice of either stealing Jake or Matt's vote or imposing a disadvantage on Hina or Kele, which, by the way, smart move, he chose the tribe disadvantage, okay? So, this was, the tribe's disadvantage, the reward and immunity challenge, which was a fishing kit, or a smaller fishing kit, they traversed an obstacle course, dug a ladder out, hold it up to retrieve a key. They unlocked a ramp to a large puzzle. First two tribes won immunity. Now, they took... Now, here's the interesting thing. Hina, the tribe disadvantage, they had to carry 20 pounds of coconuts on their back. Okay? And what happens was, is that in spite of that, Hina finished first, and Uli placed second, and because Kele couldn't solve the puzzle to save themselves. Not at all. Yeah. Okay?
And after Kele goes back to Tribal Council, they follow through on their plans to eliminate Annie. But plans go out the window temporarily last night because...
Well, but before we get to this, Gordon, the episode before last night's was a textbook example of playing too hard too early and thinking you're safe, right? Annie thought she was the bee.
No, I don't think it was playing too hard too early and thinking you're safe. I think it was you saw the tea leaves being drawn. You had to play hard at that point if you're Annie. You had to convince everybody and try to make the alliances so that Sophie was going to leave. You saw the guys were going to be a block. You found out exactly how strong that block with Sophie was in this episode. But yeah, you had to play hard in this. When you only have six people, you don't have a choice. When you start out with a tribe of six, you've got to play hard early. You've got to make that inroad. You have to get that. You've got to be in the majority alliance. You don't have time to yuck around. So no, I don't. If anything, she didn't play hard enough.
Okay. So, last night's episode, it was there was a lot of demystification, really, wasn't there, Chico?
There was a lot of demystification. Before the challenge, Jeff explains that Jake was bitten by a sea crate, which is, and now I'm quoting, 10 times more venomous than a rattlesnake and extremely rare to have happened in Fiji. Nobody on the crew, even after 10 years of filming, knows anyone that has been bitten by a sea crate before. Jake was pulled from the game, and they'd have to continue on without them. So...
Now, according to Wikipedia, they actually showed the treatment, and they showed that each tribe received a binder depicting animals and plants to avoid. Now, Gordon, are you surprised they showed this?
I'm a little bit surprised, but I'm also a little bit relieved. Because that again, goes to how safe they try to make everybody. So I actually thought that was really cool. And they did a lot of close-up on the snake, showing that it's striped, and showing that, yeah, that's almost certainly a sea crate. So I like that. I thought it's pretty cool.
But the bite was deemed to be non-venomous, but medical did not.
But they called it a dry bite.
It was a dry bite, yes. Medical did not clear Jake for his own health and safety. He was out of the game effective immediately, but that did not change the flow of the game. The game continues. The immunity challenge. One member from each tribe raced to the top of a tower and leapt into the ocean, crossing a survivor water totter, retrieving a key, making their way across a series of floating platforms, and swimming to the end. The next two players went. Once everybody is at the end, two players unlocked and solved a survival turtle puzzle. First two tribes with immunity, and that was...
Hina and Uli. So, yeah. Again, and Jeremiah was evicted 2-0. So the only tribe members left...
Wait. Yeah, you missed a couple of things in here. Alex had the idol. Alex no longer had the idol. He played it, not trusting Sophie, which was stupid because Sophie voted for Jeremiah. Jeremiah voted for Alex, which is fine because the idol negates it, but it wasn't necessary because Jeremiah leaves 2-0 because of the idol that was being played. So now Alex no longer has the idol.
Right.
Pretty much.
And therefore, they are both very, very vulnerable, especially because in the next episode, they're dropping their buffs.
Yes.
There you go.
They're dropping their buffs, and we're going to get the tribal switch. And so then we're going to get... So that would mean 6-6-4, right? 5-5-1, right?
Well, right now, they are
at... 5-5-1.
Right now, it's 6-6. Right now it's 6-6-2.
Yeah, so...
Right, so that's 14.
So it would not shock me if they went 5-5-4, or if they just did away with the three tribes and made it 7-7.
We'll see.
It would not shock me. That's the beauty of Survivor. The game is very elastic.
Indeed. But... We need to play we need to play the Amazing Race in Europe one more time. Let's go.
Okay, so we're talking two legs. The first leg is the Netherlands to the Czech Republic. Jazz and Jag are the first to arrive at the pit stop on the first leg, so they are the first to depart the second leg, and they head to
Prague in the Czech Republic.
Yes.
And they go to the Ziskov television tower where there's a roadblock. One team member had to walk across a narrow plank 255 feet above ground and retrieve their next clue. Then... the teams had to travel by metro and on foot to the next by the statue of Charles IV. So the detour was remember the chair or handle with care. In the remember the chair, the teams had to memorize 11 village crests, search Ufleku for dining chairs with the same crest, memorize the villages associated with the crest, and reiterate the villages to a historian by receiving their next clue. In Handle with Care, teams had to deliver 48 Bohemian glass goblets to three vendors before receiving their next clue. And the pits, and then they had to travel on foot to the Joseph Mane statue and find their next clue to go to, I believe that's Zofin Palace. So in leg two, Jazz and Jag won again, and what did they win this time? They
cash
won
cashback rewards for a trip for two to Sri Lanka.
Okay, and then of course,
crazy
Angela and Lexi, and then Angela and Lexi. Well, she gone. They're gone.
They gone.
So last night we're still in the Czech Republic. and they had to drive to Cuitnahora and search the municipal brewery. Hello. Next clue. So then, in the first roadblock, they had to fill bottles of beer before receiving their next clue. And then we had another driver's seat roadblock from last season. So the first team to arrive determined how many crates of bottles they had to fill. Natalie and Stephanie took control, and one crate to Izzy and Paige and Hannah and Simone, two crates to themselves, Christine, Rubina, Kylan and Taylor, Kat and Alex, and Megan and Matt, and three crates to Jazz and Jag, Joseph and Adam, Tucker and Eric, and Jack and Chelsea. Which, by the way, was kind of smart. Okay? Kind of smart.
And you know what? So this is going to come back. This is going to come back to them, you know, at the pit stop. Just read on, because next time,
right.
Next we have to go to Nove Zvori and find the next clue at Coastal of Sivani. Their one team had to pull a plow called Arcadio through a field where their partner guided the plow until they unearthed their next clue, which directed them to drive to the Zimni Stadion Cuitnahora.
Now, in the second roadblock, which I believe means that the other person had to do it, one team member had to don ice hockey equipment and score a goal through their one of five holes in a cutout to receive their next clue. And then they received a coin to depict the Kachina Chateau in Svati Mikulas. And the team that was first was Natalie and Stephanie, who won $2,500 apiece.
Now, there's an interesting story behind that. Jazz and Jag were actually in the lead heading into the pit stop. But because they knew Natalie and Stephanie helped them out, they allowed them to pass them.
And Megan and Matt got so lost, Phil had to come to that. When you know Phil had come to the, because they got lost.
When you're busy plowing and you see Phil King and come out, it's over.
Yep, it's over, and they gone. And next, we're going to Hungary and Budapest. With a fast forward, I believe, is going to be involved next week.
Yep.
So, Big Brother, okay, so we need two. We have two reviews to do, and one I'm going to do very quickly. It's called On Brand with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy Fallon takes 10
normal people making pitches to big business as this sort of entrepreneurial task that's out of The Apprentice from back in the day, if you remember that far back, you know.
Yes, before the presidency. So this is an and then we have, what were the companies that we've seen so far?
So far we've seen Dunkin'.
Right. Oh, that's the first episode. I'm just trying to see. And the other one is Bosoma St. John.
Yeah, so okay. there's Jimmy Fallon and Bosoma St. John.
Right, and the one who wins the whole thing wins $100,000, a feature in Adweek, a VIP trip to the Cannes Lions International Festival of Creativity, and the title of Innovator of the Year.
Yeah, by the way, so far we have, Jay.
Yes?
Southwest Airlines is the second one, because we already talked about Duncan. Now we talked about Southwest Airlines, and then
Marshall's, I believe,
coming tomorrow is Sonic.
Not the Hedgehog.
Although making a pitch for Sonic the Hedgehog, can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. To me, this feels like, Gordon, you'll understand this. the sanitized version of an Apprentice segment to sort of capitalize on what's going on without being that way. Do you know what I mean? Kind of?
I do know what you mean. I'll actually add to it, and I will say if the Apprentice stuffed it with corporate synergy, this is what we get.
Yeah.
With a little brand nepotism on the side. I wanted to like this. I thought it was a really good idea on paper. I did not like the execution.
I also did not like the execution, and it feels like Jimmy Fallon. It seems like every time you see a game show with Jimmy Fallon, he's playing the same role. He's playing the guy who is pretty much looking at the camera all the time and to hell with the game.
No.
I believe the word you're looking for is self-indulgent host.
Thank you.
Yes. He's incredibly self-indulgent, and he's I agree with Chico on this, because it's like Jimmy Fallon is only playing Jimmy Fallon. You know what I'm saying? He does not know how to stretch his range. He is who he is, and if you like that, great. If you don't,
The irony here is that this would have been a much better role for Donald Trump to play instead of the role that he's currently playing. Ouch, ooh, burn, C-.
I'm going to give it D+. D+.
I'll go in the middle and say D, because what they're trying to recapture the magic of The Apprentice. Oh, and by the way, you know who does this a hell of a lot better? Marcus Lemonis, okay?
Yep.
Marcus Lemonis, with his shows like The Fixer and other stuff like that. Marcus Lemonis is more authentic in that kind of role than Jimmy Fallon will ever be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is a gigantic miss. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. And the other one is, again, Is it Cake Halloween edition. Chico, take it.
It's Is It Cake, only for Halloween. You like Is It Cake? You like Mikey Day? You like cake? You like hyperrealism? This show's for you. I like all of those things. I loved Is It Cake. Is It Cake, I believe, was one of our favorites when it first debuted. So,
well, okay, it's a little long in the tooth now, but at the beginning, sure.
For me, what makes this move is the contestants. Contestants are good. I believe they are returning contestants, if I remember correctly.
I believe you are correct.
On this, and they're very memorable ones. I think this is great. A lot of fun. If you want to do a Where Are They Now with contestants, you can't go wrong here. A
is the grade. It is a really good show. It really fits the Halloween oeuvre, and Mikey Day is as good as he's ever been.
Indeed, it's niche, but it works.
There you go.
It's niche, but it works. And that's the point. It's niche, but it works. And that's all you care about.
And that'll do it for the opening round. Now, still to come, we atone for our game show sins over the past year. But first, it's all the news you didn't even know you need to know with Jason Block, ladies and gentlemen.
Hell yeah, I'm back.
Gordon Pepper, I'm Chico Alexander, 6-8-5-1, you're home! But we love to interrupt, you give us 22 minutes.
I will give you 22 different types of things that Jason Block could have done with his laptop while it was a brick. For example, use it as a football in any North Carolina football team home game, because it would have been more effective for the offense.
I'm not gonna lie. Bill Belichick stinks.
A model for the Is It Cake computer IT edition?
A coaster.
Thing about the boyfriend.
Let's go to break.
And we'll be back. Oh, after this.
Oh, jeez.
Yes, we will. One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us, it's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation, end the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
WLTI has been brought to you by, yes, the return of the Kentucky Fried Tar Heels.
Woohoo, I guess. I think of it as, there is no meal of the day, meal of the week, because the Panthers won this week, and the Tar Heels are on a bye, so...
Yes, but we're giving out free belly dances. Belly check dances. That is also co-sponsored to you by, and yes, if you remember, we used to have a segment called Buffalo Chips, the donut holes for any team that after this point had no wins in the NFL. And for this season, we have
the J.
This season we have the Jets, 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 Jets.
Yep. I mean, because the Giants are looking. Good? Maybe?
Well, we talked about that on the BS. It's going to be on the site at 5and1.net. If you'll follow us there, you'll get all the information. It was me, Ian, VRM, and in our annual Stat Boy appearance, Stat Boy.
All right, but we have a lot of stuff to do and not a lot of time. Gordon, if you would.
Roll that beautiful rain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games at Rock 104, Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And you can listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104. That is Rock 104, WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course all over the known
multiverse.
Why is my
multiverse
on Rock104FM.com? That is the live stream and Rock 104's app and the Odyssey app. And if Dan Larson is listening, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Why is the bat shaped like a cell phone?
Because we're playing games. And those games are going to be played on television.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
All right, so the first game that we're playing is Immaculate Grid. That's going to be adapted into a TV series thanks to one Michael Strahan and one Tom Brady.
Woohoo!
Wow, that's some high. That's some high.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And it's like Michael Strahan, he knows the ins and outs of television. Tom Brady, he knows the ins and outs of everything else. So, yeah. They're going to shop that around. Hopefully it gets picked up because Immaculate Grid, very addicting game from Religion of Sports.
Yes, and it's right. And woof, wow. That's some big... Yeah. That's going to be... I you know what? We need a good sports game show. It's been a while. It really has.
Yeah, and the thing of it is how incredibly cerebral it is. I mean, do you realize how tough it is to come up with not only a correct answer, but an obscure correct answer? It's like what happens when a sports
it's sort of
trivia
like a correct point version of there we go. James, you owe me a Coke.
Damn it. Okay.
Now the next one is out of Netflix. Let's see. You took the I was trying to think of weapons in different Netflix series, but I got nothing.
Yeah, because Netflix doesn't have weapons. They just kill people. See Squid Game. Yeah, we have six weapons, six suspects, an entire mansion full of rooms, and one dead body. Sounds like Clue to me. And guess what? That's exactly what it is. Netflix's greenlit Clue, an unscripted series based on the game, which will feature a group of contestants facing physical and mental challenges to collect clues before stepping into a real-life game of detection, and deception. To win, they'll have to outwit opponents and identify the who, the where, and the with what. Guess right, add money to the prize pot. Guess wrong, you may be eliminated. So it kind of reads like the original British version of Cluedo. Only
that's exactly what I was thinking. A little bit between Cluedo, the Mole, and Whodunit.
There you go.
And also a little bit of Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego? The crook, the warrant,
the criminal,
and the crook.
Right. Correct.
Correct. By the way, yep. Clue comes from Hasbro Entertainment and B17 Entertainment.
The interesting thing about this is that it's got a lot of different elements from things that we equally like and don't. This is really going to be very much a let's see how this is executed sort of show. But I'm looking forward to it. I'm intrigued.
And, me too. And finally, here's our friend Jimmy Fallon again. He is going to be producing a televised version of the New York Times favorite word puzzle game, Wordle. NBC has ordered a pilot with Savannah Guthrie as host, where players will have to come up with five-letter words based on position of letters in six guesses or less. So it's lingo, then.
Hmm. I wonder where that concept is from.
See, here's the problem with this. I love Wordle, but it's a freaking copy of something. And you know...
I'm just saying, if the owners of Lingo, which, if I'm not mistaken, is All Three Media, wanted to take Jimmy Fallon et al. To arbitration over this, they'd have a pretty strong case.
I don't think they would, actually.
Oh, really?
It depends on how they execute it. You have to remember, RuPaul's version of Lingo, for argument's sake, was very different than the other version of Lingo, whether you want to consider Woolies or Sweden. So if you do enough of a differentiation, you can get away with it.
Okay.
So they do that.
All right, and before we insert Jason's bit, because I know he has a bit about this, I just want to preface this by saying, Jason is not your lawyer. This is not legal advice. Don't be a jackass. Jason, the floor.
Exactly. All I'm just saying is that there may be some sort of, like, for example, in the new Taylor Swift album, The Life of a Showgirl, she credits the interpolations of certain songs on the new album. This could be an interpolation of Lingo, if you know what I mean.
Or they could have gotten the green light from Lingo to do this. We don't know. That's a possibility, though.
That is indeed a
possibility. Going to the date book, one of our favorite shows, the season premiere of Penn & Teller Fool Us, Monday next week, We have the Battles premiere with Nick Jonas and Kelsey Ballerini as advisors.
We have two more advisors, actually. I got the other two.
Which are?
Lizzo and the Louis Capaldi. Thank you, Brain.
Okay. Celebrity Name That Tune, Omar Epps versus Cal Penn. Wild and Out has Lecrae, Carla Hall. The Carla Hall?
You mean the Carla Hall.
You mean the chef?
The chef.
Okay. And Klondike Blonde. And Celebrity Weakest Link is a high school reunion. I don't know what that means.
It means you're going to see teen idols from your favorite teen shows, past and present, compete.
And then Wednesday is the Big Burger Battle season finale on Food. But let's talk about that app, though. Okay.
All right. So this week we're talking about the original apps, books.
What are those things?
They're things that you put on your shelf that makes you look smart.
Well, yeah. Well, if you're a Survivor fan, February bookmark. See what I did there? February 24th, 2026. Which is, I believe, right around the premiere date of Survivor Season 50. The official anniversary book, Survivor Forged by Fire, will be hitting shelves.
Yep, okay? Jeff Probst is going to give you an inside look at how Survivor got on the air, how Survivor is produced, and assorted diaries of production and contestants. Everything you want to know about Survivor is in this book.
He also threw new unseen photos, early Jeff Probst diaries. So it's going to be out February 24th, 2026, and is written, well, the author's credit is by Jeff Probst. So that is actually smart.
Very.
Really smart. And, you know, I bet you there will be a lot of 50th anniversary contests. Books and things related to that. This, not so much.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Are you smarter than, well, Ray J?
Yeah. Kim Kardashian and her mother, Kris Jenner, are suing Ray J for saying that they are under federal investigation and on the verge of being indicted. It was filed in Los Angeles Superior Court last week by the reality TV stars and business people. And it's a pushback against allegations that they say are entirely baseless.
And according to People magazine, they've never sued anybody before, even Kanye. Okay. For defamation.
Oh, jeez. All I can say is, oh, Ray J is going to have to sell a whole lot of Raycon just to settle the whole thing.
Well, now there was two instances that were supposedly the issue, okay?
Uh-huh.
One, where he said, and I quote, this is from the U.S. versus Sean Combs, if you told me the Kardashians were being charged for racketeering, I'd believe it. And during a September 24th live stream, Ray J allegedly falsely declared that a federal racketeering investigation had been launched into the Kardashians. You can't do that if it ain't true.
Nope. That is slander, and people can bring you up on it. So, congratulations, Ray J. You gon' get it.
You know, you played yourself, but
congratulations.
Even that is not as bad as this haterade.
All right, so Love is Blind season 9 is on the air on Netflix, and one of the participants, Nick Amato, who calls himself a Wish.com Zac Efron, he's gotten into a bit of hot water.
Right. And because
in episode 4, with his now fiance, Nick said that he thought identifying as LGBTQ at a young age was, and now I'm quoting, a fad. He said, when kids start having those thoughts too young, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but that's a concern for me, because who's telling you that?
Well, do you want to hear the media apology?
Yes, I do. Cue the violins. Okay. Let's go.
Okay. Let's talk about it. I will love and support my future children unconditionally. No matter how they identify, I take full accountability for how my words came across, but I am glad it provoked this discussion and my learning. I was born in a traditional Midwestern environment, and now I recognize how that shaped for certain blind spots. It's not an excuse, just part of the work I'm doing to grow and be better. I love and respect my LGBTQ friends deeply, and I'm committed to grow my growth and be a better ally. Thank you for those who approach me with patience and honestly, I'm listening. Good grief!
You got caught. Yeah. Oh, and you know what? That's actually better than what. That was from an Instagram video. That was from an Instagram post. What date was that Instagram post?
Let me look again. Hold on.
Oh my god. Because on October 3rd, he came out with a video that said, oh my god. And this is just one of those things where it's like, no, this is not how you apologize, you idiot. Call me.
Well, I'm checking. Hold on.
All right.
That is a really sad attempt at a media apology.
Six days ago. Okay. About a week ago.
So that was, okay, so.
October 3rd.
He also had this video. Call me shallow and call me horny and that I have no depth of character. I can take that. It's reality TV. It's fair game. That conversation was heavily sliced and diced.
That's not exactly a media apology.
I'm guessing he got some play for that before he posted the actual apology. Bro.
Just
stop.
Own it.
Own your inner rage, eh?
No. Own it. Just own your stuff. Where are we sending Ray J and Nick Amato?
Scandinavia. I hear Scandinavia is nice this time of year.
Okay.
Oh, it is. Been around the world and
All right, so the three of us are big fans of Portal 1 Arcade, especially when Jay scores a hefty payday in Quiztopia every so often, and he doesn't throw his phone across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Or his laptop.
But here's the thing. Right now, they are harmonizing their payment methods to T'Pol T through your bank account. And that's important because they are doing some expanding. It used to be between Norway, the home base of Portal 1, and North America, chiefly the United States and Canada. They are expanding, I believe, to Sweden and Finland.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Yeah. So when an app of great renown expands, that is always a good thing. My mistake. It's Sweden and Denmark. So when an app like that expands, it's a good thing.
Why? Yes. Yes, it is.
And we could get more worldwide media pros.
I got pros in different area codes.
Area codes.
Pros in different area codes.
And this week's Media Pro Report. Susan Boyle is back in the studio recording. Good for her. Love is Blind's Chris Cullen puts the bill for the engagement rings. What the players do with them is up to them. George Gilbert has been booted from Big Brother UK due to, and now I'm quoting, unacceptable language and behavior.
Whoops.
Jesse Palmer says women have a responsibility to tell Mel about Nicole on The Golden Bachelor, pivoting to influencing after her villain edit is done on The Golden Bachelor.
Do you think?
Oh, yeah. Mark Ballas wants to expand his family. Dancing with the Stars lines up its 2026 live tour featuring, among others, Brandon Armstrong, Alan Burstyn, Val Smirkovsky, Jenna Johnson-Smirkovsky, Daniela Karagach, Pasha Pashkov, Emma Slater, Ezra Sosa, Britt Stewart, and Haley Bills.
Woohoo!
Bo Bice compares the floor to losing American Idol to Carrie Underwood. Deanna Pappas is in a custody battle with an Uber driver. Rob Lowe
I was about to say, Dolly Parton was the subject of a death scare.
Yeah. But now I'm quoting, I ain't dying yet.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Rob Lowe set star in The Detail for NBC. Byron Allen makes a play for CBS Late Night, because of course he does. Travis Kelce is the main reason why Taylor Swift won't do the Super Bowl halftime show. And if you believe that, the usual culture warrior suspects are planning a counter halftime show. Good luck with that. Like, Melissa Rycroft claims she's struggling after a DUI arrest. Dwight Howard goes from inside to innovative arts entertainment. Monet Exchange and Ginger Minj will star in Adam Shankman's Drag Race movie. Jane Lynch has won 5 Emmys and says that one of them was, quote, kind of a celebrity gimme. Danielle Official addresses a viral clip from last week in Dancing with the Stars, and Jerry Turner reappears with a new fiancé. But none of them are your pro of the week. And that pro is... John Cena! Da 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 da! Da da da!
Okay, why him?
He is wrapping up his time with the WWE. He is wrapping up season 2 of Peacemaker as we speak. And I believe I have a date for his final match.
That is December 14th in Washington, D.C. Rumored to be against Gunther. Season 2 of Peacemaker ended tonight. And if we didn't have that 3 months of crap of the, you know, the heel John Cena, would have been nice. Just have him do this the whole way.
Yeah.
Would have been nice.
So there you go.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Shutting down right now.
And as we go into break, we are getting ready to atone for our game show wrongdoings over the past year in our annual atonement segment here on The World's Strongest. This is We Love to Interrupt on 5-1. We will be right back. WLTI is presented by Candy Corn Crush. Yes, a bunch of people are going to try to make something edible and entertaining out of everybody's favorite Halloween sweet treat, candy corn.
Delicious.
Sweet.
Tasty. Divine.
Sugar Crush. Seriously, I'm the only one I know who loves candy corn.
You are the only one.
No, I like candy corn also, and that may be part of Jason Block's atonement, is to eat some candy corn. But what we all do for atonement is right after the Jewish holidays, and again, we hope that it was a good fast for everybody that does do the fast, like myself. I don't know if Jason does. I did.
I actually had, believe it or not, I had dispensation this year, because caregivers actually have to eat to take care of others. Uh-huh. So I actually found that out this year for the first time.
Oh.
Meanwhile, we have to do atonement. And here's how that works. Chico is going to be hard on me and Jay and give us things that we need to say good things about, regardless of what we feel. But we have to be nice, happy people. Some years it's harder than others.
And I'm sure Gordon has one for me as soon as all is said and done.
Put it to you this way. I have one for you, Chico. I like to start this off, okay? If you don't mind.
Sure, why not?
Okay. Say something nice about the Jimmy Kimmel run of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
It was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Everybody loves it. It's the game show that changed everything. It is one of the best game shows, not just out of the last 25 years, but perhaps ever. I would love to see ABC build off of the success of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I love watching it. Yes, it could have, like, a bunch of D-list celebrities, and I would still watch it. You know why? Because I appreciate the gameplay.
I'll give you a reason why you like it. They gave away $1 million this year.
Twice.
So that was good. Twice, exactly. Twice. So that's a good thing.
See?
Okay.
See how easy that was?
It was. What's next?
All right. Okay, guys. What I want you to do is say something nice about the second season, that is the season that is currently airing, of The Golden Bachelor.
Well... honestly, it's keeping the same tone as the first one, and that's actually a good thing. It's still trying to play it off as a older people romance, and I'm good with that.
I think one of the things that I will say about this is that we're not seeing controversy that happened in the first season, at least not yet. So apparently they did a much better job vetting out the contestants on this, especially the main person on the cast. So I definitely think that is an improvement. And besides that, you know, they are going for that old dopey romance thing. And they are doing this with a lot less drama, shall we say, than their predecessors. So, no, I can say good stuff about that.
All right. Okay. All right. Next one. Something that you have.
What you
mean? Oh, actually, does Gordon have one?
Of course I have one.
Let's hear Gordon's.
And this one's going to go to Jason.
Okay.
Because Jason and I will both... Actually, you know what, Jay, you went to Tika, so yes, I need to present something to you, Mr. Block.
Yes, you do.
And here's what I'm going to give you. And this is... I'm going to give you sort of a softball here.
All right.
Tell me something good about, because I actually think they need some press here, Quiztopia.
Okay, honestly, yeah, okay, I will actually do that because I can. Okay,
Well, you've made some good coinage on there, so I figured that you would be
good coinage, but that has nothing to do with it because it's actually a very good show. The writing is excellent. The host needs a lot more love, and I'm going to try and get some press because we need to cover him because he's, to me, and Chico may agree with me on this, he's the best new game show host this year.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, I bet, and I do my research, this is not the first, I mean, this is the first English language game show host that Marcus Bailey has hosted, but it's not his first game show.
Oh, really?
He was the host of the Norwegian version of American Idol.
Ooh. No kidding! Wow! Okay, so he's got chops. And the thing is, Quiztopia is quick. And yes, if you have people who want to help you along, shall we say, you could do that in places like where we're at right now, not necessarily encouraging it or discouraging it, if you know what I mean, Chico.
If you know, you know.
If you know,
Discord
you know.
Is your friend.
Discord is your friend, yes. But all joking aside, it is a throwback to the quiz app era, and it is really well run. And yes, there is, and yes, full disclosure, both Chico and I have won a lot of money on there, but
I've won less money, but I have won money.
Okay, legitimately, it is a very good app. It really is. Chico, do you want to add anything?
Not anything that has not already been said. Marcus Bailey is a great host. Quiztopia is a great product. I thoroughly enjoy playing it with my friends. And, here's to a long and healthy life for that show.
Indeed. What did I just... I had one. Okay. I had one. Okay. All right. Gordon, I'll give this one to you. Okay?
I'll take it. Mm-hmm.
I want you to extol the virtues of Big Brother 27. I believe it is 27. This past season.
An easy one. I thought it was one of the better seasons. So this shall be an easy one.
You think they're two in a row? You think they're in two in a row from last year's BBAI?
Yes, definitely. I love the fact that if it ain't broken, don't fix it. They kept the battle on the block, which was great. It really made it exciting. You had a very different level of strategery this season, which I know you and Chico may not have necessarily liked, but I really enjoyed it because, again, it really made it a social game, and it really made it less of a tribe versus tribe mentality to a Sandra Diaz-Twine, okay, we'll go anybody as long as it's not me. And bouncing back and forth. And only until the end did we finally get a solid alliance that rode the pony to the end. But you didn't have that at the beginning. And that really added a lot of drama. And it added a lot of play in there. So, no, I really like this season.
Oh, wow.
It may not go down as, like, one of the big top five ever. But for me, this was definitely an underrated season.
Okay.
So, I liked it.
I agree. I mean, it really picked up at the end, I thought. And I like the fact that for the second year in a row, Big Brother did not abandon the theme of the year.
No, they
very
did
true.
Not.
They no, found, they kept it going.
They found
thing.
A way to make it stick, and I love them for it.
And I did like the mastermind a lot. As Chico said, they went with the whole theme the whole year.
And also the fact that I also like the fact that the mastermind was masterminds and why they did what they did. Did you actually listen to the reason why they became the mastermind?
Because they were
yes.
Because they were undone by various twists.
Right, exactly. And when you do, when you see that, and when you do that, it's good. It's good. All right, Chico, you're next, and I believe Gordon will be last, right?
Yes.
Yes, mm-hmm. And this one goes to Gordon. I want you to say something nice about the Lion's Share.
Ooh!
Say it again?
The Lion's Share,
the new game on The Price is Right.
Oh, that's an easy one. As I said, I do like it. I do like the fact that they've used new mechanics that they haven't used before. Even though, as I said, I wasn't the biggest fan on how they displayed everything. Those are easy changes that you can fix. The hard part, which is the stratagem of the game, works just fine. How you figure it out is good. Whether or not you can stop is good. All that other stuff is good. I like the game in general. And I know a lot of people don't. I'm not one of those people. I think it's a good, solid game. And the tweaking that they have to do on it is very minor. So no, I will say a lot of good things about Lion's Share. I think it's a well done game.
Okay.
Jason. So, hi, Chico. Oh.
Oh, wait. Gordon has one more, doesn't he?
I do. Well, no. For you, no, wait, but, no. But I want you.
No. Jason's got the last one.
I do? Oh, that's right. I didn't know I did.
No, I got. No, I have the last one. It's for you, Chico. I only gave out one.
Oh, okay.
I know you don't want mine, but you're going to get it. So now we have spoken about the Golden Bachelor, so I'm not going to ding you with that one. But I am going to ding you with this. Talk to me about Love is Blind.
When you take away all of the people that have been on the show and all of the people who have made careers out of being known for being on the show and all of the people who are absolutely garbage people who have no business being on the show, the concept is actually quite sound. Can you fall in love with somebody without ever seeing them? I think it's actually a quite novel concept. The execution, I think the execution is actually pretty top-notch as well. I can't say anything about the casting, but the concept and the execution are very well thought out. See, that's nice.
Yes, and I think we've atoned, and you know, believe it or not, we still love all our shows, and we would continue to be better people through the next year of game show fandom. But we have a speed round to do, and we'll do that right after this here at 5-1. Let's do it. We'll be back.
WLTI has been brought to you by Snake on the Beach. We've had Snake in the Grass, we've had the Human Snake, now we have Snakes on a Beach, because apparently we can't control our snakes.
Good night, everybody.
That is Snakes on a Beach. You have X, and brought to you by X on the Beach. Whether or not your ex is a snake or not, but it's always better than the snake in your pants. That is all.
Oh boy, all this snake talk is
making... Oh, you know, by the way, Gordon, I'm surprised you didn't go the low-hanging fruit of who wants to be the Yankees manager.
Well, I mean, we don't know that right now as of yet in terms of that, so I'm waiting for that to be official until it becomes official.
Okay.
Somebody's
is it official?
Somebody's got to answer postseason meltdown.
No, it's obvious. Honestly, it's not Aaron Boone's fault. It should really be who wants to go into the Yankees bullpen.
I agree with that. Yeah. I really do.
Can
but
somebody
anyway.
Get some Carl? Somebody get Carlos Rodon some help.
Yeah, and Fried and Gerrit Cole next year. But we need a speed round, and we'll start it now. Survivor, we're going to get drop your buffs. What is that going to do to the game?
My guess is it's going to kind of sort of kill the Kalei tribe once and for all, if you ask me.
Well, if they're smart, they don't kill the Kalei tribe, and they use them as extra votes to try to find these cracks in their alliance, and then get rid of them in, like, the round of 7 or 6, where they become really expendable and the true alliance comes out. So you should not get rid of them yet. You should use them. You should use them right now as political pawns, is what you should do. We'll see if anybody is smart enough to do it.
All right, Jeopardy. We saw Spencer Janes defeat TJ Fisher. How long does he last?
Maybe a day or two.
Yeah, we'll be talking about him in the past tense next week.
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah, that's pretty much that. Amazing Race, who's next to go to the Big Brother Loser's Lounge couch?
I don't want to say Kyla to Taylor. I really don't. But they have not.
Oh, just say it.
Giving me, I think it's Kyla to Taylor. They've not been giving.
I don't think it's going to be them yet. But yeah, they have not had inspiring gameplay as of right now.
No, but I hope they don't throw in too many more of those last season twists. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But if I'm being completely honest, if you want to show me a team that's in definite danger, Kat and Alex.
Yeah, you in danger, girl.
You in danger.
Indeed.
Okay, Wheel of Fortune. We've seen it done once already this season. Does somebody else win the million?
I think we're going to get a second. I really do. May not be right away, but I think we're going to get two.
That'll be fun to watch if it can happen. Lightning can strike again. I'd love to see it. Just saying. All right. I want to check to see if we have any mail real quick. Or at least something on our socials at Game Show News Net, by the way. You are a follower. Thank you so much for following us. We oh so appreciate it. All right, so this comes from Roland Taylor Jr. And if you recall, last week we celebrated the 25th anniversary of Triple Play, the only game on The Price is Right to offer three new cars. He says, it took that whole season for Triple Play to acquire its first winner. True facts.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of those games that are really cool. Not played often, but when they do, it's fun to see.
It is indeed.
It's fun.
Yeah, Triple Play is a fun game. I like Triple Play because you can do that 1, 2, or 3. It is a variant on Golden Road in terms of the percentages when they go from 2 to 3 to 4. So same concept there, which is why the formula works, and which is why, again, it is so hard to win. But that's what makes it fun.
Indeed it does. And if you want to be as cool as Roland Taylor Jr. here, you can send us a message at our socials at Game Show News Net, or just email us, WLTIGameShowNewsNet.com. Back to the socials. The network is at 5&1. Net, that's the number 5&D-O-N-E-N-E-T. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I'm at Beat the Block with the number 2 on the end.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, we talk about anything and everything going on network-wide on all of our socials, including the Eagles finally getting burned. Exposed! Actually, they got burned last week. Just tonight as we record this, they got exposed. And of all the teams to do it, the New York Giants. We will talk about that next time on the BS Big Show, but this week on the BS Big Show, it's pretty much silly week because the schedule just got all silly. Saints won a game. Panthers won over... Who did they win over? They won over a...
The Giants, actually.
No, they won over the Dolphins. Panthers won against the Dolphins. They're hosting the Cowboys this week. That's going to be a very interesting watch, just saying. And then we go to the UK, where the Vikings take on the Browns for control of Ian McClendon's soul.
Yes.
So that is on the BS Big Show this week. Jay, We are about to get Crown Jewel early
from
in
Australia,
Saturday,
believe
early,
it or not.
Early in the morning. It's like you have to wake up at 8 a.m. to catch it on ESPN, if I'm not mistaken.
8 a.m. on the ESPN app. There, I believe SmackDown is going to be taped or has been taped already.
I believe that's right.
Well, I'm just trying to, because we'll be taped because right now it's 2 p.m. Actually, around 8 o'clock in the morning, it'll be taped or broadcast here in the United States. Probably be live on Netflix somewhere too. So, and also Raw on Monday night will Monday morning will be 8 a.m. Monday Raw. Wow. Crazy, eh? TKO is global, but at what cost? We'll talk about that. Gordon, the panel, what's going on?
2 weeks, Unholy Alliance world title up for grabs.
All right. And on It Was a Thing on TV, we have just dropped part 3 of our triumvirate of Saturday Night Live anniversary drops. We had Saturday Night Live, the 20th anniversary season, last week. Earlier this week, we had Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell. And because it is after midnight here on the East Coast, we have the new episode, Fridays, with ABC's answer to the not ready for primetime players, including younger versions of Melanie Chertoff, Mary Edith Burrell, Larry David, and Michael Richards. And a bird. There's also a bird.
A big one?
No, it's a quite small one. They call it Phineas the Friday's Parakeet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's all in It Was a Thing on TV.com. Thanks for visiting. All right, so next week we continue with Survivor, Amazing Race, War Jeopardy, and, well, the big news of the next 7 days. But for now, for Jason Block, for Gordon Pepper, for everybody at 501, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.